What does a form of godliness and the Go Green environmental movement have in common? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thank you for joining me. You're listening to Dr. Fred, another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We've been talking about specific lies and strategies that the enemy uses to ensnare people. He doesn't just try to ensnare the unsaved, although he does a very good job at that. He also tries to ensnare Christians, not so that they'll lose their salvation, because I believe that that is a biblical impossibility. He ensnares us to keep us from being effective and to divide our loyalties. You know, today we're hearing more and more about going green, the new environmental catchphrase. The idea behind that is that we should use less and less of our natural resources and recycle what we do use, and only purchase products that have been recycled. One website boasts this phrase. The call letters for going green are RRR. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Now, of course, in many respects, this is important to conserve and frugally use what we need to use. The problem with this outlook is that it tends to reduce the importance of humanity. And I'm talking about the Go Green movement, the environmental movement, whatever you'd like to call it. It reduces the importance of humanity and increases the importance of everything else. Proof of this is seen in the way the environmental agencies work. They emphasize saving resources for future generations instead of having the ability to use them now. Now, while this appears to have a form of godliness and intelligence associated with it, what is actually being done is turning the natural use of God's creation upside down so that humanity is really on the bottom of the heap, so to speak, with everything else above man, above mankind, in significance. In this way, through these ideals promulgated by the Go Green movement, humanity is then reduced to something which is far less than what God intended us to be. For instance, in our efforts to save certain species in the animal kingdom, mankind goes without. Because of this, people in various parts of the world wind up starving because it becomes verboten to kill a particular animal. This is very, very true in India, for instance, where it is against the law, both socially and religiously, to kill cows. We must save all the trees, so people then are put out of work. We can't use the oil offshore of many parts of the United States because drilling for it may pose a danger to sea life. And this has happened in the past. Due to this, the United States has become tethered to foreign countries, which raise or lower the price of oil per barrel at whim. And Americans and the rest of the world are at their mercy. I was at a 2008 Shepherds Conference held at Grace Community Church. And it was in Los Angeles, and it was held at the church where Dr. John MacArthur is the senior pastor. He was speaking on this very topic, and at one point in his message, he made this statement, quote, "Kill a deer, walk on the grass, and drill for oil." Now, he was being a little bit facetious, but he was making and stating a truism. The truth is that society has come to see each of these things as counterproductive to growth. We're not supposed to kill a deer. You shouldn't walk on the grass, and you should definitely not drill for oil. But the real truth is that, as Dr. MacArthur stated later in his message, God gave us all of these things for the benefit of humankind. In the first part of Genesis, God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, and subdue the earth. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 1, 28 through 30. After the global flood, which destroyed all of the living of creation, with the exception, of course, of Noah, his family, and the animals that were brought into the ark, God gave the same essential message to Noah and his family. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. You can read about that in Genesis 11. God's words originally to Adam and Eve are very clear. Let me read it for you. Quote, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Genesis 1, 28b through 30. Now, this is before the fall. I want to make that point. But God gave us this planet. The reason I make that point, by the way, is because after the fall, we became able and encouraged to eat meat, not just vegetables. So it changed after the fall. And I know there are some people who believe that, well, God still wants us to be vegetarians. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe the scripture shows another version. And I believe, unfortunately, it is solely because of the fact that humanity fell, that we need certain proteins and things found in meats. And I know vegetarians would disagree with me, and that's fine. But God gave us this planet as our greatest resource. And that's the reality. That's the truth, the bottom line. We are to subdue it. We are to use it. We are to have dominion over it and benefit from it. Now, that's the truth of what God gave us. As good stewards of what God has given us, it is important to conserve and not waste. We have unfortunately gotten to a point in society where animals, in many cases, have become more important than humanity. We are afraid of actually using aspects of the earth and the resources contained within it because we might use them up, we think. Beyond all of this, we are fearful of destroying this earth, or at the very least, leaving little for future generations. But the biblical reality is that this earth will not be destroyed by human beings. It will only be destroyed when God himself destroys it, as outlined in one of Peter's epistles and elsewhere. You can read that in 2 Peter 3, 10, and 12. God has a plan for this earth. He created it for human use and consumption and to have dominion over it. He provided us not only with every herb-bearing tree, but with animals and fish and birds, all for our use to eat for the purpose of remaining alive and being healthy. God's ultimate plan includes the destruction of this earth. Why? Well, simply because he will create a new one. This one has been so defiled by the sin that human beings allowed and even invited into God's creation. So God's going to give us a brand new one. And you can read about that in 1 John 2:17, where it tells us that this one will be burned to nothing and will pass away completely, destroying not only the earth, but all of the corruption that is inherent within it. Now, the idea that we should go without so that future generations will have is patently ridiculous. It is nothing more than a slow form of global suicide. While people today die from lack of food, due either because certain areas of earth are off limits for farming or because certain species of animals cannot be harmed, we smugly sit back and announce, well, at least future generations will have this land to farm and those animals to eat. However, it would be better if everyone becomes a vegan. That's what people say. It makes absolutely no sense. But anytime Satan is able to attempt to upturn God's plan with his, Satan's own, then we have a problem. And by the way, I'm not knocking vegetarians. If you happen to be a vegetarian, great, terrific. But I hope you're a vegetarian for the right reasons, not because you think that there's something in Scripture that prohibits people from eating meat. You know, as far as the Go Green movement, this is what environmental agencies, and not just those of our government in the United States, have accomplished, because they have given into the voice of those who speak not for God, but for Satan. And if you really listen carefully, you'll hear them talking about Mother Earth and Gaia. It is a form of earth worship, is really what it is. The earth becomes the object of worship. The things that are here on this earth are included in that worship. And because they're included in worship, they become off limits to people for their use. And they do this without really knowing it, and certainly their motives seem on the surface to be altruistic. Nonetheless, the result is labeling what God has given to humanity to use, not abuse, use, off limits. God himself has indicated that we are to use the earth and its resources for ourselves. This is why the earth is here. It sustains us. We have become so afraid of using it up that we have put unbelievable restrictions on using many things. The actions based on these restrictions have done nothing to alleviate famine, starvation, disease, and even fuel prices. There's even a movement that says that our total population on this earth should be somewhere around 500 million. Well, we've got about 7 billion people. So you figure out how they're going to get there. While Christians must be good stewards of everything that God has provided, we must never take men and women who are the highest facet of God's creation and put them on the bottom of the totem pole. We must never allow animals or plants to displace man from the position that God has himself placed him. Global warming has and continues to be a hot topic. No pun intended there. It is one of those areas which strikes fear in people because the experts tell us that humans are responsible for it. So what do? We are told to use fewer products that are said to add to the problem of global warming. In truth, there's not a whole lot we can do about global warming. A statement on the Greenpeace website says this, quote, "Global warming is the most urgent environmental crisis of our time, and we have the solutions. We just lack political will. That's why we're demanding U.S. climate leadership on the world stage, working with business to implement solutions and exposing the dirty secrets of corporate polluters like Exxon," unquote. Global warming is not a problem that seems to have only affected Earth. Some scientists in Canada believe that Mars is experiencing global warming. It would be impossible to blame this on human beings on the Earth. But there are problems with our world and our environment. As those called Christians, we are to subdue it and use it. We are also to be good stewards of it. This does not mean placing anything above man by attempting to conserve it for some next generation. It is more than indecent to allow people living on the earth today to die because a species that they could be eating is protected. This is how man's value becomes far less than that of animals. That animal then has displaced man and has actually superseded humanity's value. This is wrong. There has to be a balance. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, also known as PETA, has its own agenda. They would like everyone to become vegetarian. On their website are statements made by famous celebrities endorsing the vegetarian lifestyle. Statements by Paul McCartney, Pamela Anderson, Alec Baldwin, and others extol the virtues of swearing off meat forever. McCartney says, "If anyone wants to save the planet, all they have to do is stop eating meat," unquote. So really, the solution to saving the planet is just that easy, according to one former Beatle. Please don't misunderstand. Animals should be protected from abuse and mistreatment. Their lives need to be protected because they are generally unable to protect themselves once they become domesticated or caught by humans. Even in the wild, animals are becoming endangered, primarily because of illegal hunting and trapping. There is a real problem and a balanced system of good stewardship and the proper use of resources can be reached and maintained. But this will only be accomplished when people begin to realize that man is the most precious aspect of creation that God made. It will only be when we understand that true value of humanity that we will then be clear on how to properly use and preserve the resources that God has given us on this planet. The earth is here for us to use. That's our show for today. Thank you for joining me, and may God open your eyes to show you how truly, richly blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.